Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got a lot of stuff to talk about on today's show. A lot of special guests. Bill, the producer, in here with me this time as well.
Hello. Lovely seeing you again, sir.
Yes, indeed. I don't even know what to think of that accent. But speaking of accents, Bill is here for one reason and one reason only. Not to talk to me or to share his diving adventures with you, but to reconnect with our good friend Roz from the UK, who is connected via the web right now with us on Scuba Radio Live. Roz, how are you? How are you?
Fine, thank you, Greg. How are you?
Are you that well? You're much better now that you know Bill is actually here to talk to you.
She's better now that she's not in a bog.
Yes, you saw this on Facebook, and
yes,
that's exactly what we're going to talk about today.
And it's a good thing we're going to, because this is the problem that I have, that there's some translation issue, because, Roz, you know that I'm a student of language.
Yes.
You know that I find the differences between the way that the proper Queen's English is spoken and the way that American English is spoken is unusual. But
yes,
my understanding is that if you're going to a bog, I might call it a restroom or an outhouse. Why were you swimming in one of those?
Okay. I was swimming in something called a marsh or a swamp.
Oh. Mm. Oh, okay.
So the next question, of course, is why? Right?
Because I can?
Because you can.
Well, it's a thing. It's a thing. She was, she ran out of consonants, so she went somewhere in Wales.
Yes, it was the world. It was the World Bog Snorkeling Championships last week.
Again with the bog.
Okay, and once again, we're going to have a translator. She just said
it is the World Bog Snorkeling Championship.
Aha. Okay. So, and of course, this is Roz, our Scuba Radio correspondent from the UK, who does this in her spare time for amusement. I mean, this is actually something you searched out and participated in because you wanted to. Correct, Roz? It wasn't like you lost a bet.
No, it was fun. Second time I've done it, Greg.
Really? So
yes.
There's the second time. So because it doesn't really look very appealing from a diving perspective when you look at the pictures on Facebook that
I think
you posted.
Viz must have been several millimeters.
Not even that.
Yes.
Not even close.
So the idea of swimming through a bog, which is basically, I mean, why is the Viz so bad? Is it because there's
It's mud. She's swimming in mud.
It's mud snorkel.
Yes, it's pretty much liquid mud.
Okay.
It's like swimming through gravy.
Okay, and I've had dreams
now
like that.
She's not Italian.
She's trying to
sell
it now.
Or from New Jersey, so now we know what kind of gravy it is.
Okay.
Or score right. Coffee. Actually, it's like swimming through coffee.
It is something like swimming through coffee.
Hmm. Yeah.
But all I'll tell you, I can tell, because I actually have pulled up Roz's Facebook page.
Yeah.
And her cover picture is her getting ready to get started in this bog championship, and she was intent on I'm guessing beating your score, your time from last year. Am I right? Hmm. You were ready.
The last time I did it was in 99, and I haven't got the time from 99, unfortunately, but I was kind of focused. Yes.
She is there. There's a tension here. There's no screwing around going on here.
It's a competition, not an expedition or exhibition. I mean, so what, I mean, tell me, Roz, does the bog, well, I don't know, what is the gunk that you're swimming in? If it's mud, does it like stick to you? And like when you get out, you're covered with this gook or what? Or does it just kind of slide right off?
It kind of, you have a bit stuck on you, but it kind of slides off. I went and sat in a stream afterwards and washed off my wetsuit and everything.
Okay.
Because I was a bit covered in mud, yes.
So you were snorkeling through this stuff on the surface, or do you actually go in it? You don't go under?
No. Okay. You have to put your face in the water, and then you have to comply. There's a whole set of rules with this. It's quite complicated, but you have to put your face in the water several times.
What is the
swim up and
what
down.
Is the history of bog snorkeling? Where did this come from? Were you guys just like, you know, locked up in your houses there in the UK because the weather was terrible and you didn't want to go out, and finally some said, screw it, let's go swim in the mud? I don't know, how did this come to be, this bog snorkeling competition you participated in?
The place it's held in used to be a spa town in Victorian times. And it's got really quite nice spring water, and people used to come and take the waters and visit it. And then they stopped coming to visit, and it's a little town in the back end beyond in Wales. And about 30 years ago, somebody had an idea of coming up with the World Bog Snorkeling Championships to attract visitors in. And it does. And it Ben and Jerry's used to sponsor it years ago. Hmm. And you get people coming in from, Japan and the Czech Republic and Australia and Canada and the States, all over the world, to take part in it.
Well, wait a minute. Who is the U.S. bog snorkeling champion? Maybe we need to find out who this is and try to knock them off for you or something. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
She said
US?
It's world. She said there's people from all over the world that come and participate in it.
They come from all over the world. Yeah. However, I believe that the folks from the UK have a distinct advantage.
Is that true, Roz? What do you think?
In what way?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know exactly what the way is that they have an advantage, but I will say that the 2015 World Championship is a person named Hayden Pitchforth. And if that is not a name from the UK, I have never heard of a name from the UK.
He is actually local, yes.
Hayden Pitchforth.
He is local in Wales.
Well, he has a local bog to swim in
other
and practice year-round.
Other winners include Craig Pedley, David Williams, Richard Addis, Andrew Holmes, Dan Morgan, Connor Murphy,
all right, who
Robert
cares?
Liskow. Once again, back in 2006, Hayden Pitchforth.
Is he doing a good accent, or is he just annoying you, Roz? What do you think? You're not hearing an accent,
funny.
Are you? Yeah, it's quite
funny.
I think
it's quite funny.
It's humorous. Well, yeah, first time ever for everything. All right, so, but there are people from the U.S. that come to this area and participate.
A Swede managed to win in the female category this year.
Yeah.
Ava Johansson.
Okay.
Ava Johansson. This is after Kirsty Johnson last year set a world record and the current world record for anyone. That's back in 2014, where she completed the course in 1 minute, 22.56 seconds.
How long is this course, Roz?
It's 120 meters, 60 meters out and 60 meters back. So that's 196 foot out and 196 foot back.
All right, so but just straight back and forth, just like swimming a lap.
Yes,
except you're in mud.
Yeah.
Okay,
and you can't use
mud.
You cannot use any conventional swimming strokes.
You can.
You're allowed doggy paddle.
You have to
if
just use your
conventional.
Fins? Is it you?
You
have
use
fins?
You use your fins, and if you use your arms, then it's doggy paddle.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. How thick is this mud? Is it like you're literally like?
It's not too gloopy. It's not too gloopy. It's quite liquid.
That is a technical term, gloopy, by the way.
Well, it can't be too gloopy. They'll cancel it. It was canceled back in
for extreme gloopiness?
1995 due to gloopiness.
Wow.
You are doing your research on this one, Bill, aren't you?
It
seems to be pushing your buttons.
I love researching things. I just absolutely do.
Interesting. So, but did you meet any U.S. competitors? They were going for this as well, or did you find any, Roz?
No, I met French ones.
French ones?
I met
now, the French
ones.
The French are unusual because they consider it not to be a bog smoking race unless they're smoking while they're doing it. And smoking and snorkeling, that's a skill, which the French really, they own that.
Yeah, and if you smoke this bog, it actually it does the trick for you, I think.
Actually, Bill.
Yes.
No, they actually tucked their cigarette behind their ear and they went and did it with a baguette.
With a baguette. How lovely.
Yes.
A baguette.
Well, there you go.
Can you pronounce the name of this place for me? I can see where it is.
Bog Hollow.
No. It is Welsh. So I'm guessing luxury yacht is how it's pronounced.
I would say something like Llanrhyd Wells.
She just made that up.
You know what? She pronounced at least three of the letters in it. So that's good enough for me, because that's how Welsh works.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just picture a bunch of hobbits managing this whole competition. And
I don't know why.
I don't know. It just sounds like that. Maybe a bunch of folks from Hogwarts. No?
You really need to get out.
Yeah, I do. All right. Roz from the UK is going to hang with us for a little bit. We got a lot of other special guests in the studio with us today as well. So stick around. Just getting started on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
We should probably sign up for the scuba boat as soon as we get there, because I hear it fills up really quick.
Don't you ever feel like we've been on this vacation before? Scuba diving, and we did that in Bali and Costa Rica and Hawaii.
Maybe this is Fiji. We've never been to Fiji. So it's like, that's a whole different island, and the resort there is beautiful, and you know, the scuba diving there is going to be totally different because it's different water, different fish. It's going to be really good.
Right.
I'm excited.
It's going to be amazing.
Are you excited?
Mm-hmm.
I am. I'm really excited.
I am excited.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the producer, and Roz from the UK is connected with us via the web, and also via the web. I haven't brought him on yet, but I will now. We got Phil Nico, or Phil Narcosis, as we like to call him. Phil, hey, say hi. Check in.
Hey, what's up? West Palm Beach in the house.
There you go. That's where he's residing. He just got back from the left coast and doing some diving in the Red Sea. We're going to talk about that a little later on. Also, Jerry the Diver Guy is in Virginia. in the mountains of Virginia, Mountain Divers, and he's with us as well. Jerry, how are you, buddy?
Oh, we're making it on this fine early fall season coming, getting ready to freeze to death.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's doesn't sound very appealing, but we'll deal with it regardless. All right. And if that weren't enough, in the studio, we are joined by a very special guest, Mark from Mike and Mark from back in the day, Eminem.
Greg, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, he was with us at Bugfest. He's relocated back to Florida, and he decided to come on over to the studio today. So we're going to check in with him as well later on. Yes, Bill?
So has he relocated, or has he been relocated?
He has come home.
I'm back with my people.
I'm back, baby!
Mm-hmm. What are you saying? He's retired to Florida? That's not how you're making it sound.
No, I was thinking maybe they sent him back. I think maybe they said, you know what?
It could happen.
We gave it a shot, but you can have him back.
All right. Well, that could be the case, and we'll let Mark explain himself here in just a bit. But we got to finish up this conversation with Roz about this bog snorkeling that she's done. Now, Jerry the Diver Guy, I got to say, this sounds like an offshoot of mud wrestling here in the States. I don't know. What do you think? Have you ever done anything like that up in the mountains of Virginia, maybe, or no?
No, we ain't got bogs or swamps. We just got spring water.
Spring water, which is crystal clear. It's like diving through gin. It is actually an offshoot of gin. But anyway.
More tastier, too. Yeah,
okay. All right. Roz, I don't know. Do you think it's something I should gather a team together here in the U.S. and maybe bring them to where you're at and participate in this event next year? It sounds like a much safer, diving type of record to go for or accolade to go for, as opposed to breaking some record where you could die or something. You hear what I'm saying or no? What do you think?
It would be really fun to get you guys involved with this.
Yeah. We have to get over that whole snorkeling in mud issue that, I don't like getting my hands dirty. And I have a feeling this is going to be a problem.
Wear marigolds?
What about marigolds? What?
Just wear marigolds.
Just wear marigolds. Okay, I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't help you with this one. I try.
Washing up gloves.
Gloves, okay. Yeah, I have gloves.
It's like gardening gloves?
Yeah, is that what you mean
by washing up gloves. Gloves for washing up.
Gloves for washing up. Why are they called marigolds?
Yeah.
Are they gold?
Do they have marigolds on the gloves?
Yellow. They're sunny yellow.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right. I think I understand now what you're talking about.
I got lobster mitts. How about that? That'll work, right? When I catch my lobster, those are bright yellow. That would work in a mud bog, I guess, right?
I think she was just talking about using an inexpensive glove.
Okay. Just something you don't care about is what you're saying. Right, Roz?
Smell the glove.
Yeah.
You don't have enough Spinal Tap references in this program.
It goes to 11 here. Be quiet.
Now, so the question I have, Roz, though, what's the water temperature like? Because I'm looking at the wetsuit you're wearing, and I'm just guessing. 15 mil?
Hmm. No, it was a 3.
That was a 3 mil?
Yeah.
Was that
it was a fourth element, 3 mil, Proteus. It was lovely.
Yeah, she looks good in there. What are you trying to do, Bill?
I'm just saying it didn't look warm. It looked cold.
Is it?
Was it cold?
Yeah, do you even take water temp?
I wasn't freezing my butt off. I didn't take the water temperature. But it wasn't... Once you were moving, it was fine. It wasn't that unpleasant.
Yeah, but you needed a wetsuit.
Absolutely. There is no way on God's earth I would have done that in just a bikini. No.
No way.
No way.
Mm. Why? Because you
What if we took up a collection?
Hey!
I'm not that desperate, Bill.
Okay.
Well, give us a call when you are, for goodness sake.
Everybody has their price, Roz. Everybody has their price. Anyway, it sounds like it's just a fun type of activity, though. They don't take it too serious, or do they?
It's a lot of fun. There is some people take it seriously, some people don't. It's a lot of fun. It's just a joyous celebration of getting wet and fun in a bog. It's just great.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it sounds like an offshoot of mud wrestling from back in the day.
Yeah, except for there's no wrestling. And the participants are by themselves, and they're going down and back, and they're being timed. But that's exactly like mud wrestling.
No, have you ever participated in mud wrestling? I have. That's how I met my wife.
I believe you.
Yeah, it's the truth.
I do believe you.
Yeah.
But it is in no way like wrestling whatsoever. The only part is that the water is muddy. It is not mud. It is muddy water. They have a peat bog, and they cut a, and I'm gonna convert from meters to yards for you. It's a little over 30 yards, right? You said 96 feet. Is that what you said?
196 feet.
So it's 60 yards.
Okay.
60 yards down, 60 yards back.
Right.
And they cut it out, and they fill it with water, either naturally or by hoses. I don't know how they get the water in there, but I mean it's a
Bill, it's Wales. It rains.
It rains. I never forget that.
So it's a naturally formed bog.
Yeah, they actually had it canceled by a drought once because it hadn't rained that week.
Mm. Okay.
That's what constitutes a drought in Wales.
Maybe it's closer to what they do in Florida here, where they take monster trucks through the bogs and the swamplands.
It's exactly like that, except for it's you snorkeling instead of the monster truck, and you're doing it for time.
I say we combine both of them.
And get dragged, make it like water skiing.
Well, no, it's not just a competition. Truck. It's a matter of, will they survive? You know, the monster, Bigfoot. You know, they got to beat the person next to them in a speed swimming snorkeling competition.
I'll tell you what, this is the thing. They have more people year after year after year going to this event. It's not broken. Let's not fix it.
What do
you say?
How many people showed up there, you think, Roz? Thousands or what?
About 300 people.
Okay. All right. It has a little growth.
It's Wales. Up. That's five villages.
Oh, okay. Well, you put it like that, it makes sense. More coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer. We got Roz from the UK. We're talking about this bog snorkeling thing. And actually, Mark here in the studio, his better half, brought up a very interesting question about this bog snorkeling that Roz is participating in. That if they're like the swamplands here in Florida, you got snakes, you know, water moccasins and all this kind of stuff. And
the bogs kill anything that go into it. The bogs are death.
Really? Is that the deal there, Raj, you think, or what? Is it, I mean, critters?
They're constantly
bringing people out that died tens of thousands of years ago from the bogs. The bogs cannot be trusted. The bogs will kill you.
What are you saying? What do they preserve?
Actually, peat bogs do preserve people. There was a famous man called Pete Marsh, I think.
Of course it's named Pete Marsh.
They nicknamed him Pete. No, he was like a Neanderthal man, and they found him with a copper axe, which completely rewrote history. But never, where it's done in Wales, honestly, there's no critters around. There's probably the odd mosquito, and that's about it.
They got mosquitoes. They have no snakes because it's Wales.
This is the thing with Wales.
They have whales.
They don't have whales. They have three vowels that they have to spread out evenly over the entire country.
Yeah.
And they write their history with a copper axe. That's what I've learned so far today. Previously, I had not realized that's how they did it things in Wales, but the Welsh are different. They have red dragons. That's all I know for sure. Red dragons carve their history with copper axes, and they have three vowels total.
Obviously, happy hour has started here on Scuba Radio, so I'll just apologize.
It's interesting seeing what colonialist take is on Wales, I have to say.
Yeah? you mean that as a compliment, or are you making fun of us again?
It's interesting how Bill interprets stuff.
That's what I thought. All right. Well, that'll be enough out of Roz from the UK then. Because we got Jerry the Diver Guy, we got Phil Narcosis, we got Mark here in the studio, and a Dan tip next. So stick around, just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Radio.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 333. If you pick up a shell underwater...
I thought I sent you away, cretin.
Not only will you hear the ocean, you may also experience excruciating pain from the hermit crab's claws that burrows its way into your ear canal.
You see how wonderful life can be?
In the ocean.
With your maniacal...
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Did you have any trouble finding the new studio, Nick?
No.
GPSs are pretty cool, aren't they?
Yes, they are, but I didn't need one.
What? Did you use the force?
No, I had directions. I knew where I was and where I was going.
Okay, so in other words, you employed good navigational skills.
Yes, I did, Greg, and they're not just for diving anymore.
But underwater navigation is a good skill to have.
It really is. And why is that?
So you don't get lost.
Exactly. Underwater navigation skills are so important, entire specialties are built on them.
So what are the benefits of being able to navigate underwater?
Shoot, what aren't the benefits? At least half a dozen come to mind almost immediately.
Prove it.
Being proficient in underwater navigation helps you relax and avoid confusion or disorientation. You'll know where you are, where you need to go, and where you are in relation to your exit point.
Okay, that's one.
It helps avoid long surface swims, unless, of course, that was part of the plan. Poor navigation skills can leave you surfacing far from the boat, and that's generally not ideal.
That's two.
It maximizes your dive plan. Knowing where you are allows you to do what you plan to do, so you don't spend half your bottom time guessing and searching.
Three.
It avoids buddy separation. If you both know where you're going and are able to navigate there, you're less likely to lose each other.
That's four.
It conserves air.
Okay, wait. Time out. You're reaching for this one. Navigation conserves air?
It's the relaxation thing again. Confidence in where you are helps you relax, which keeps you calm, which helps you breathe evenly and slowly.
All right, five. One more.
You don't get lost.
Shoot, I should have seen that one coming. Man, that was a half dozen.
I can give you more.
And I'd love to hear them. But how about giving our listeners some tips on how to navigate?
There are several methods you can use, like natural navigation. Before you even get in the water, take stock of the waves, currents, or any landmarks on shore. Once you're underwater, use what's around you to stay oriented. Note the direction of the current and take stock of coral formations or bottom composition. If you're diving a reef or a wall, keep it on one side of you for the first half of the dive and reverse it on the return.
Sounds easy enough.
Well, it is. Another option is to use the underwater pattern. Swim in a predetermined pattern like a square or rectangle instead of choosing random directions.
Been there, done that. I use a compass myself.
And they're a terrific navigation tool. Set a heading to follow on your way out and follow the reciprocal back in. There are lots of methods you can use and a lot to know about each one of them. The best thing you can do is to take a specialty course to learn the finer points and then practice what you've learned. Navigation is one of the most useful and safety-oriented skills you can have.
What's the point of diving the perfect site if you can't find it again? Good navigation skills always let divers know where they are, where they need to be, and where they want to go once more. Don't spend your time swimming in circles muttering, "I swear this was around here somewhere." Get yourself some training in underwater navigation. Practice and be the diver everyone else asks for directions. Do that and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We're back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the producer. Also, we have Mark in the studio with us from back in the day, Eminem. Who just relocated back to Florida from the left coast. And it's good to have you back, Mark.
Oh, it's great to be back.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we're going to do some diving in the Turks and Caicos, right?
We are. Indeed we are.
On the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, October 3rd. Bill, you're not going to be there.
What in the name of holy hell's going on? He's back for like an hour and a half, and you're kicking him on a cruise.
Yep. That's how it works, man.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
I'm again it.
So, by the way, there are a few spots left if you want to join us still October 3rd in the Turks and Caicos. Scuba Pro is going to be on board with us. with demos and giveaways and things. Also, Catherine Castle from Dive Training Magazine. She's the editor-in-chief over there at that fine publication, and she's going to be on board to, you know, tell us how you can get your photos published or an article written in one of the dive magazines and that kind of thing. And she's just a great lady as well. And, of course, we'll be doing a radio show. We got the Scuba Cowboy playing music. We got Mermaid Tiffany on display. And if that weren't enough, then we also got Phil Narcosis, who's going to join us as well. Phil, you going to bring your there. You going to bring your guitar or what, buddy?
You know, I think the Scuba Cowboy and I need to coordinate on that. And
I'll tell you what, I may be bringing our Scuba Radio guitar as well. It's sitting right there behind Bill, as you can plainly see. So we may have a jam session on board on the top deck there.
Let's jam it, or you know, if I don't bring the guitar, I'll just sing some Acapulco.
Okay, we can do that. That works. Acapulco works in the Turks and Caicos, I think.
But that's good. How much fun are we going to have on that trip?
We are going to have a blast. It is going to be way, way too much fun. And I don't know, for you, I mean, this is it's going to be
another trip.
Just another trip, because you've been all over the place.
But, you know, I learned from Greg. From you, sir, long time ago, listening to your broadcast here. You said your favorite place to dive was the next place you're going.
That's right. It always is.
And my favorite place to dive is not the Red Sea where I was last month. It's not the Channel Islands on the California coast where I was a few weeks ago. It's not Palm Beach Inlet where I was today here in South Florida. It's going to be Turks and Caicos.
Well, there you go. I would agree with you. Now, the only time where that rule might come into question is when you're talking to Roz and you're saying, hey, I want to come to the UK and snorkel in a bog. I don't know if that would be...
I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Does that kind of mess up that plan, Roz? What do you think? Would you agree or no? Is Roz still with us? Did we lose Roz? Oh, there she is.
I'd give my eye teeth to dive in Turks and Caicos. Especially with the group that you've got going out there, it sounds like it's going to be fun.
Well, hold on, hold on. Did she just say she lost her teeth in Turks and Caicos?
She's willing to give her eye teeth.
Oh, her eye teeth. Okay. You have teeth in your eye? What the hell?
Oi. Oi, matey. I'd give my teeth.
I got it. All right, yeah, you cut your...
Suddenly she's Australian.
Yeah. Yeah, what will it be? All right, I got you. No worries. All right, well, yeah. I mean, do you feel the same way, though, Roz, as far as your favorite dive is your next dive that you're planning to go on? That's kind of how you feel, too, isn't it?
Unless her next dive is a bog dive.
Yeah, well.
Actually, it's the Red Sea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that she
you
actually...
You got to do it. And give some time.
Yeah.
Roz, do a little side trip with the pyramids, because that's
the Pyrenees are nowhere near the Red Sea. I don't know why you're even suggesting the Pyrenees.
I made a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
Yes. Do they have bogs in Egypt? I don't know. Maybe.
Where did you go in the Red Sea?
Yeah.
We had to fly from Cairo after we did the pyramids. We then took an airplane to Hurghada, which is not Sharm. Yeah, which is across the basin, the Red Sea basin, from Sharm el Sheikh. Sharm el Sheikh is kind of like the touristy hotel resort feel, but Hurghada was a more remote marina where we boarded the ship for the week.
Hmm. And what was it, liveaboard?
It was a liveaboard, yes.
Yeah,
so brothers?
Nice. Brothers. No, we did the southern itinerary, which was known as St. John's.
So you've been to
Saint
that.
And Daedalus.
You've been there, it sounds like, the way you're handling this, Roz, that you've been to that part of the world already. Have you?
Well, I lived in Egypt for 2 years.
Well, I guess you have. So,
here's what I'm confused by. She's asking brothers and then says dateless. So I'm confused.
That the brothers don't date each other?
I'm confused what she's saying. She's just throwing words out now. It's all non sequiturs today.
No. It makes perfect sense to me. It's all Greek to me, you know?
Hmm. I don't think it's Greek. I think it's Egyptian.
Yeah, I would think. Okay. Something like
it's
that.
It's reefs, actually. There's two reefs. There's called Little Brother and Big Brother.
Yeah.
And then you've got Daedalus Reef as well.
Oh,
and
Daedalus.
Yes.
That's better than Dateless. Okay.
Well, now, wait a minute. How was it for you to work in that part of the world? Was it a little more difficult being a female? Because aren't they a little restrictive on what they allow the women to do as far as working in that part of the world, or what, Roz? Not so much.
You try and behave. You try and be respectful, but also you get on with your job.
Okay, yeah. So you just
the cruise director. The cruise director there is was from Eastern Europe, a female.
Yeah.
Really nice young lady. And she experienced, she said she was really having a difficult time, you know, doing her job on a boat filled with Egyptian men. But we probably should just leave it there, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You just get on with it. You need to grow a backbone and you need to get on with it. You need to be respectful to the crew and they should be respectful back.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that sounds pretty normal, I guess. But all right. Well, look, we got to take a quick break and then we'll talk more about diving in the Red Sea. And I don't know, Phil Narcos is just out on the left coast as well. So we'll talk about that next. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Before you jet off to your next exotic dive destination, brush up on your scuba skills with Paddy Reactivate. The all-new Reactivate program is designed to update divers on the fundamental scuba skills and dive principles, giving you the skills you need to jump back in and dive with confidence. Show off your new Paddy replacement certification card and your refreshed skills on your trip when you reactivate. Contact your local Paddy Dive Center, resort, or instructor and get started today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Yo, that was crazy, right? Who knew? I mean, everything's set. It's a lock. We good to go. We in the money. And he trips underwater. Who in the hell of it trips underwater?
Shouldn't even be here. Shouldn't be here at all. Beneath the water. Drift into the fascination. Jump right in the water, spine, and see what's on the wall.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. That is Phil Narcosis in Inner Space, his song that he, you put that out about, what, a couple months ago, 3 months ago? It's been a while.
A couple months ago. Yeah. You can get that. You can go to Phil Narcosis on YouTube and then see my dive videos and then click right on the link. It takes you to, what is it, reverbnation.com /Phil Nico, but just go to Phil Narcosis on the Red Sea, and then you can click through it and then download it for free. So, yeah, it's all about a tune about scuba diving. I'm actually real pleased with the way it came out.
Yeah, it's a nice little tune, kind of progressive, little Rush-like.
Little Rush, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hit those high notes. Not, you know what, I saw them live recently. And not even he really can hit those high notes anymore, but that's understandable.
Yeah. Well, there is one note on that song that you go, in the space, and you go up
there. I know,
there like
you know,
that.
Thank God for pitch correction.
Well, it was a pitch correction or just grabbing your nether regions.
So I know.
It was one or the other, or maybe a combination of the two. Who knows?
Hey, studio secrets.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. All right. So Phil Narcosis with us, as well as Roz from the UK and Jerry the Diver Guy. He's also online with us as well. So... evidently, you know, Phil just got back from the Red Sea. That's where Roz started her diving career. Well, I guess. Is that right, Roz? Or just you did a couple years there working a boat?
No, I'd already started my diving career, but I worked there between 2000 and 2003.
Okay. All right. So you're very familiar with the area. And I mean, I know we talked to Phil last week a little bit about it, and you loved the diving there. Would you rate it high yourself, Roz,
of the very best in the world.
Much better than a bog in the UK, I'm guessing, or in Wales, yeah. Right?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
just
all right. Maybe
I would
not
say, though.
Go on.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I would say, as long as we're comparing, and let's split some hairs here,
yeah.
It did not have the Red Sea, at least where we were in the southern itinerary, didn't have the big animals that Micronesia had, namely the Republic of Palau, which I went to last year, and I'm very high on that area. You know, just sharks just cruising, like you count like 6 to 8 to 10 sharks a dive that are cruising the wall, you know, like where the wall comes together, like an intersection,
yeah.
Where the current's kind of is very interesting, and it's just all this adrenaline, and you just get those kind of dives. There wasn't that kind of diving, at least where we were at the Red Sea. Saw a few hammerheads and a few reef sharks throughout the week, but that wasn't like in Micronesia, you could see that on every dive, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's what I've heard in the past, is that the Red Sea is known for its color, macro life maybe. I mean, when you talk about Palau, they're more known for their big animals and all across the board type stuff, current diving and big animal encounters and things like that. But the Red Sea, it known to be very, very colorful. And,
but not as colorful as, I got to tell you, not as colorful as Fiji.
Well,
what do you think, Ross?
Yeah, maybe.
I've not dived Fiji, so I don't know, but I would agree with you on Palau, that you get the bigger animals in Palau than you do in the Red Sea.
Yeah, but what about the Red Sea as far as the diving conditions in the Red Sea, I believe, are supposed to be fairly easy. Am I right? There's not like all the currents and things?
It was definitely easy. I would call it easy diving.
Yeah.
To mid-range.
You need to choose your sites. If you're a brand new diver, you don't want to go out to Rasmo or Taran.
Yeah.
Because you get big drop-offs. You know, you've got 800-meter drop-offs straight down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And you do have some pretty fearsome currents out there. So for a brand new diver straight out the box, the local sites are benign enough for them to go and explore and see lots. Hmm. And for experience, it's good for checkouts. But you do, please don't underestimate currents in the Red Sea, because
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, what's cool is like the boat would go like in the middle of the Red Sea, like between, you know, in the middle there between what's the border country on the other side? Is it Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
And, you know, you almost can't see land on either side. And then there's these volcanic pinnacles that are coming up that, you know, the Red Sea was formed 100 million years ago. So these pinnacles are like, you know, were mountains, I guess, at one point, and then you've got the coral and the sea life that is, and you see the pinnacle like at just about sea level, and the boat approaches, and the sun is out, and it's about 100 degrees, but it's kind of like Las Vegas weather where it's you know, there's no humidity, and you see this round, you know, footprint coming out from the you know, in the open water there as the boat approaches, and you're like wow, this is really cool, and we dive it, and you know, we're doing 4 or 5 dives a day, and you know, it's eat, sleep, and dive, and that's what I'm really looking forward to at Turks and Caicos, and really you know, being together with the the Scuba Radio family. That's going to be a blast, too.
No doubt. You know, and the diving in the Turks and Caicos is very easy, but it's also known to be spring water clear, as Jerry, the diver guy, would definitely appreciate. And by the way, the alcohol after diving for the day, included in our trip price. So it's a great deal on many levels. We're going to have a blast. Once again, you want to join us October 3rd for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in the Turks and Caicos with Explore Ventures. Give me a call, 1-800-322-3577. All right, hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. We're going to talk about a coral spawn down in the Florida Keys. And also Triggerfish, a unique video where they go for a diver's
trigger.
Family jewels or something. And I don't mean treasure. Well, maybe. Depends on your perspective. That's coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.